Thank you again for the opportunity to come together this morning. We just as we were talking, we thank you for just sending your son to die on the cross for our sins. Just what a simple act of faith and obedience it takes us to be able to have that relationship with you. We can look at Jesus and say, yes, you were enough. The blood that you shed was enough to cover up our sins and iniquities on our behalf that we commit every day. So we thank you for being faithful to forgive us of those sins. We know that you tell us our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west and that they're remembered no more. So how you view us is just pure and holy, and we thank you for how you look upon us. Because of that blood that Jesus shed on that cross, you see us as pure and holy because of what it washed away. It washed away our filth and our ugliness and just exposes our pureness and holiness in your eyes. So what an amazing thing that does, that we're able to come before you not only just as who we are, but then you see us as pure and holy. So I just thank you for sending your son on our behalf to allow us to have a relationship with you. I just pray as we go through things this morning that we can be challenged, that we can be renewed, we can be built up, we can be encouraged, we can be edified. That is the purpose of what we're here for. We know that it is impossible to make it through our lives without you. We wonder why so many things drag us down to so many deep valleys that we don't ever seem like we come out of. And so often it's just because of the means that we try to protect ourselves and the way that we try to save ourselves. So what an encouragement is that we can come together as a church body with one another and just be encouraged and be renewed and take your word and take your instructions that you've given us to be able to live a life that is honorable to you and that is, and that we're taking advantage of the tools that you've given us. We want to pray for Eldred and Janelle. Is Eldred still healing from his surgery? That you may just wrap your arms around him, just continue to give him strength, just give them the information they need to be able to choose what's the next path, what's the correct path for them to go down to. Just let them just be washed with a sense of security and comfort for the answers that you provide them. We just continue to pray for the doctors, that you give them the wisdom to just make the right calls and do the right procedures. So we just ask that you wrap that family in your arms. And we just, again, as we go forth this morning, I just ask that your Holy Spirit just fills this building with your presence, upstairs as is downstairs. The kids are very vital downstairs, too, that's something that's very important, that they're hearing your truth and that they're taking your word and your truths and building upon a foundation to allow them to go out of here, out to school and their homes and just all the struggles and situations that young kids are faced with nowadays. And what there's no better place for them to be other than just down being able to learn your word. And so I just pray that you work with them as you do with us this morning. Allow me just to speak your truth. Just be a vessel that can pour out the things that you need everyone, including myself, to hear. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so Satan, like I said, we covered. We chose to cover Satan and go through Satan because he is, as we covered, he was a created being, a created angel with a purpose that God created, that Satan, with his own free will and his own choice, decided to go against what it was that God had him to do. When he did that, we know that he took angels with him. And the Bible doesn't, and we'll get into this, doesn't specifically call out that the fallen angels are demons, but we're going to bring all that together. So the first thing we need to look at is fallen in what sense? And if we want to look at who or what are the fallen angels, we look at the word fallen and we say it's fallen in a moral sense, okay? Because the final and the total fall will not happen until the end. In Revelation, when Satan and his fallen angels, the ones that went with him, that chose to follow him, made that choice also, will be cast into the lake of fire. Okay, so the final total fallen has not happened yet. Okay, so the total fall is still to come when they're cast into the lake of fire. And we know all this with just because Satan is not there yet, because we know that he's still communicating back and forth with God, trying to accuse us. That's why he's called the accuser, is he goes back and forth to God and he says, hey, can you believe that Matt calls himself your child, goes out and tries to tell the world about you, to live a life honorable to you, to do things for you, and yet here he is acting like a complete moron. So he's accusing us constantly, all the time. That's one of his job titles. What he does is he's bringing us before God and trying to blaspheme us and call us out on things. And that's something that God, just as we prayed through the blood that Jesus did, that blood washed over us, allowing us to be that pure and holy. So God doesn't see us as whatever Satan accuses us as. He has no way other than looking at you as pure and holy. That is it, period. God sees us no other way whatsoever. So the fallen angels, the word fallen, when it comes from Luke chapter 10, verse 17 through 18, Jesus saw Satan falling from heaven and also being cast out of heaven in Isaiah. And casting out is actually a better word than fallen, because I can fall. I can step off this ledge. I can trip and fall, and that is of my own. Satan and the angels were actually cast out of heaven by force. God took them, cast them out, and said, you are no longer able to be here in the spectrum of which I created you to be. So therefore, I am casting you out. I am forcing you out. Okay? So they didn't have the choice to stay there if they wanted to. So it's more cast out by a force is kind of a better way to look at the when Satan left heaven and the fallen angels went with him. So it says, a third of the stars swept from heaven. That's Revelation 12, chapter 3 through 4 and 7 and 9. And we looked at that when we had all the definitions of angels and all of the different terminologies with them. Stars was one of the purpose or one of the definitions of the name. So when we read this and say a third of the stars swept from heaven, when Satan left, that's a third of his angels went. We know that the operation of them, that they, just like God created Satan to be, that he was in charge of different things, he continues to be in charge. There's different rankings within his command of those fallen angels also. So Scripture does not directly say that demons are fallen angels, okay? It's not going to say that when it talks about demons and it talks about these angels being cast out. But it's a very probable interpretation of what that is when we continue to look through Scripture and we pull out these different evidences that it brings. So we know that Satan is said to be the leader of the demons, okay? And that's in Matthew chapter 12, 24. Satan is also said to be the leader of wicked angels, and that's Matthew 25, verse 41, and Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. Demons are called spiritual beings, and that's Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, and Luke 10 through, or chapter 10, 17 through 20. Angels are called spiritual beings in Hebrew chapter 1, verse 14. Satan is referred to as a sinful angel who can enter and control men. Okay? Demons seek to enter and control men. So by all of this evidence that we can go through Scripture, we're piecing together that even though Scripture does not tell us that those fallen angels are the demons that are spoke throughout all the New Testament that Jesus has all of his dealings with, and that it refers to so many times, we can put the pieces together with the evidence and say that the demons are the fallen angels. So when we say, what happened to that third of the angels that were swept down or that left heaven with Satan? What happened? Where are they? And there again, we're building our case, because remember on our first page of this, and in the red, we have the quote that he who knows his enemy and himself well will not be defeated easily. And that's from the book, The Art of War. So we read that quote, and we need to know, what are we talking about this stuff for? Do we not need to know who our enemy is? Don't we need to know what their purpose, their practices, their characteristics, their tactics are against us for us to be able to identify them and to be able to combat them? We're going to be useless if we walk out of here and we have no idea what the enemy is trying to do against us. If we can't see that, if we don't know about it, know how to combat that, we're up the creek without a paddle. So what the process of doing this is, why we're covering Satan, why we're calling the demonic forces and the fallen angels, we're doing this because you and I are living in a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare. We all know that. You can't deny it. That there's spiritual forces that are, I mean, it says that all throughout Scripture, that the spiritual forces are what we are combating. Those spiritual forces, as we're going to see, can push on and try to influence every portion of our life, physical, our spiritual life, our physical, our minds, our bodies. They can do all of that force against us. So if we don't understand how they are doing, what they can do, what that looks like, we're never going to be able to stand against those schemes. Because that's what they are. That's part and purpose of what this is. So that's kind of why we're going through this. So if we look and say, all right, biblically we're going through here. When did this happen? When did Satan fall from heaven, chose to be cast out of heaven? When did God cast him out with a third of the angels? When did this happen? And that's sometime between creation and Genesis chapter 3. And we know that in Job chapter 38, verse 4 through 7, God was asking Job, where were you when I created the earth? You weren't here. And God goes through and he labels out all the stuff when he's creating the earth and the mountains and the depths of the mountains and all the hosts that are in the heaven and the stars of the morning when they were singing. Because when God created that, remember in Genesis when it says first day of creation through the sixth day of creation, all the stuff that happened, including the angels in this, we can line up the Bible verses. He rested on day seven because it was good and it was complete. He was satisfied. So we know when God created all of the angels that their intention for all the angels, the purpose of that was for good. Otherwise, on day seventh, God wouldn't have rested and he wouldn't have said that it was good. We would have had a problem with creation somewhere in there. So we know the fall did not happen immediately because through day one through day six, everything was good. So then now we have the fall in Genesis chapter 3 where Satan is within the serpent and he's deceiving Eve. So sometime between day 6 of creation or day 7, if you will, where God rested and it was because it was good, and the fall happened sometime between Genesis 3 and that last day of creation. So Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 says, "Thus all the heavens and earth were completed and all their host." So we know that the angels were in there also. So the angels were created along with the material creation. Exodus 20 verse 11 tells us, "For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them." Psalm 148 verse 2 lists the angels as the contents of heaven. And so then we know Genesis 1:31, God saw what he made and it was good. So technically it was sometime after the 6 day of creation and before the tempting of Adam and Eve when the fall took place. So Scripture does not directly say that demons are fallen angels, but this is the most probable interpretation of what Scripture evidences on the subject. And we went through those Bible verses, so I have those if you would like those. So if we know that they were the fallen angels, and I'm sorry, this is a lot of just kind of trying to build up the background for you before we get to where we're going. It's only fair to build our background, and I know it seems like a lot of school study stuff, but we need to have our background before we can go forward. So the characteristics, we know they're powerful. Okay, Acts chapter 19, verse 13 through 16, they snap chains. Luke 8:29, people will prefer death during the tribulation period when they're released from the pit. People want to die. And that's Revelation chapter 9. I got my Bible open to that actually. 9 chapter 1 verse 11. And it says that the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. He opened the bottomless pit and smoke went up and out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given them, and as scorpions of the earth have power. They were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So this is speaking of the time of the tribulation period. This is why we know, because we have not been in that tribulation period yet. That's to come after the rapture. We know that the angels, the fallen angels, the demonic angels, we know they're not locked up. They're still present. So they were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, but only the men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads, and they were not permitted to kill anyone, but to torment for 5 months, and their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. Okay, so we know that they're going to be causing problems, and we're building the characteristics of what they do, because we know that these forces are still, the demonic forces are still present and prevalent in our lives. And they have nothing more to do than to try to trip us up, to try to torment us, to try to get us off of our walk and our path of righteousness. That's what they want to do. Because Satan's goal was, I can do it better than God. So he's having his army, if you will, go out and do the work for him, allowing us to try to stumble and trip up so we can take our focus off of God and extending God's kingdom, because that's what the church is supposed to do. We're supposed to be going out, spreading the gospel, giving the good news, encouraging people. And if Satan can get us to fall away from that, therefore the kingdom of God does not grow. Therefore Satan says, ha ha, God, I did it better because your kingdom did not grow. So the purpose of these demonic forces are to be able to take us out of the fight, to be able to take us out of the front line for advancing the kingdom of God, is what we're called to do. Because each one of us, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, God did not take us up from that day and place us in heaven with Him. He left us here on this earth to do something. Well, what is that to do? In Genesis, when it talks about the garden, Adam and Eve were left to cultivate the garden. That was to help cultivate their relationship with God. The garden didn't be cultivated because God, we just read, it was perfect. It was all good. So if I cultivate something, it's to be able to get the weeds out, be able to clean that up, and be able to allow those plants to grow. Why would that stuff wouldn't have been in the garden? So therefore, they were in cultivating and building and building a better relationship with God. That's what you and I are here to do on earth. We're supposed to cultivate and build our relationship with God. So how can we do that if we're continually under this force and falling into these traps that the enemy sets out as snares for us? Because the thing that you have to do, and we're going to look now at some of the characteristics, is intelligence. And this is where it's going to get, we're just going to call out what the truth is. The truth is, there's going to be some things in here maybe that you don't like, maybe some things that you will feel shameful or guilty of, and there's no place for that, because we know what the blood of Jesus did, is that it allowed us to be able to not feel shameful, not feel guilty, to be able to get rid of all that stuff. But we're going to look at some of these intelligence things that the demonic forces bring upon this world, and we're going to say, wow, yeah, it scripturally, all of this makes sense, and we have all of the proof to be able to do that. So when we look at the intelligence of them, we're going to look at different cults and the occults. So two different things. So the cults are different religions. So here we have the intelligence of Satan. The intelligence of him is far beyond. He's a created being, an angel created by God to guard the standards of God. That's what he was created for. He's a very intelligent, and it tells us that when it gives his description in Ezekiel 28, how smart he really is. Far more intelligent than you and I are. That's something that you have to recognize, is that the spirit beings are far more intelligent than you and I. But we are not to fear from that, because we know that Jesus conquered them, and they cannot do anything unless it's first done by Jesus. Just like Job, when the devil went up with the angels to talk to God about what he could do to Job, he had to run all that past God before he could do anything to Job. So we don't have to fear that they can run around and do whatever they want freely. It has to be able to go through God first. But Satan does have free reign of this world to do things. So cults are religious groups which deviates from the orthodox Christian doctrine taught in the Bible. Okay, so what it does, it's like religions like Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and things like that. Those are different cults. And what the thought is that people should be their own God and determine for themselves what is right or wrong, and develop their own notions of a God who fits their personal desires or ideas. Okay? That's what cults are trying to do. Whatever God fits my idea of a God. If I don't like the God of the Bible because he hurts my wants, what I think my needs are, if I don't agree with what God says because that's not what the world says, why don't I just go out and make my own God? And that's basically what the Mormons are, what the Jehovah's Witnesses are. They place somebody in place of God for them to worship, for them to listen to, for them to follow their ideas, their situations, their truths, their principles, and their standards, bypassing God. Okay? And then what the draw of it is, because it's very prevalent today. You got like the Church of Scientology, you've got the Mormons, you got the Jehovah's Witnesses, you've got all these different religions and all these different churches, and what has to convict us in that, when I got reading this and thinking about this, is, okay, God, what are we to do different? Or why is this so prevalent? Yes, we know that it's the forces of Satan, the intelligence of him bringing upon all these different religions and all these ideas in religion, but why? And it's to fill a gap that the church has left void. We are so distracted making our own gods, doing our own things, trying to listen to other people, trying to not have our ideas and our wants and our needs squished, that we don't represent Jesus Christ well enough for people to feel the need to follow Jesus Christ when they can go fill the need in some other religion. So they're filling a gap that the church has left. So that kind of stepped on my toes a little bit, thinking of it that way. What am I doing in my spiritual walk that's leaving a gap that other people looking into it will see and feel the need to go somewhere else to get their fix for Jesus or their fix for a God? Am I representing the one true God well enough that people want to follow him? Or am I doing a crappy job and they're wanting to go fill that need and that gap through some other desire that they have? So They pervert the Bible. They present a false view of Jesus, which denies his deity, his humanity, and his atoning sacrifice. That's so many religions think, yeah, Jesus was a man hanging on the cross, but they don't believe that he was God, or that his atoning sacrifice did any good. Yeah, he died on the cross, but he didn't do enough for me, or he didn't. So a lot of these religions do that, and they promote other writings as authority other than the Bible. A lot of them will just totally just rewrite their own Bible, or in place different prophets or different things and take their writings and use that as their scriptures. So they totally get rid of the Bible. So those are different cults that Satan, through his intelligence, if I can give somebody, because everybody has that draw to know religion and know God. God made us alive with that. We were born with that need to know who God is. That's why man is always seeking after some sort of afterlife, whether it be the Mayans, the Egyptians, all of that stuff. Man is seeking for some sort of an afterlife. And part of that is the intelligence of Satan is going to say, okay, I'm going to take that. Remember when he was in the garden with Eve, all he did is twist scripture a little bit, just enough to get Eve to understand, oh, maybe that is what God said. Get her to doubt. And a big key with that is you say, well, why did Eve trip up? Why did Eve not catch that Satan twisted scripture or what God said? Did she know what God truly said enough? Was she, like, we can use it and say, are we in our Word of God enough to know when somebody tries to twist the scripture to us? Do we know our Bible enough? Do we understand it enough? That's not for me to figure out, only for myself. But for you to ask yourself, do you know your Bible enough that when something is presented in front of you, do you know if that's true or false? Because Eve didn't question it. She didn't recognize that Satan twisted that. So he's going to take religion and he's going to twist it. Isn't it funny to you how many different hundreds of religions there are on the earth? And they're all after some sort of a God? It's Satan taking that little bit. That's how smart he is. That's why I'm saying this intelligence thing. He's not just a little devil with a red hat and thorns and a pitchfork running around poking people. He's smart enough that he's taking things and he's twisting them just enough that when we walk, we're way off path. We always use we can use this analogy for it too, the analogy of a compass. That if I am 1 degree off of where I'm to be heading, by the time I get to the back threshold in this church, is that a big deal? It's only 1 degree. It's not that big a deal. I'm still going to hit that doorway. But if I walk to Blairstown from here, and I'm 1 degree off, I might be on Highway 30 instead of Blairstown, and I might have missed Blairstown completely because I'm 1 degree off. And that's what the enemy is doing to us. He's allowing us just to see just enough of the truth to think that we're involved yet, to think that we can hold on yet, but yet it's just enough off track that by the time we get to our final destination, we're so far off the beaten path. So that's what we have to be careful of, and that's what we're going to try to pull out. Are little things that you and I sometimes don't think like they're a big deal. Big deal. What is that? Yeah, that's not anything big. That's just a little stupid horoscope in a newspaper. No big deal. Well, is that just a 1 degree off? Is that just a 1 degree off? Is it just little things? So we're going to look at occults now. So we had the cult, now we have the occult, which is mysterious, secret, hidden, and concealed things. Okay? And what that does right away to us is our human nature gets excited because we like to learn about the unknown. We want to learn about the unknown. We want to learn about secret and mysterious things. Look at how many just books are out there that you can go to Barnes & Noble and look up and mystery books. People are intrigued by mysterious, unknown things. Well, guess what? The demonic world uses unknown, mysterious things to draw us in. So, occults deal with mysterious rituals, powers behind the normal human senses, and the supernatural realm of demonic forces. Before we go any farther, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy, just so you can see it with your own eyes. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And the Old Testament is full of these types of words from God. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab one out of the pew. They're the same translations. So, 18, verse 9 through 14. 18, sorry. So this is God speaking. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his sons or his daughters pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you, and you shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For those nations which you shall dispossess, listen to those who practice witchcraft and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so. Okay, that's a commandment from God. Is we don't mess with that stuff. And there is, I'll provide you 30 different scripture verses that God says, stay away from all of this stuff. And he away from it. What are some occult practices that are covered here? Satanism. That's worshiping and following Satan. Okay, and that is something that's being largely sought after nowadays. We hear about it all the time. That there's after-school Satan programs. We heard about all the Christmas tree stuff that are Satan worshipers, Satan temples, all these things going, because the number one thing to remember is whatever they're trying to do is take the glory away from God. Take our relationship away. Take our trust. Take our reliance. Take our, basically, our dependence from God away and add it to somebody else. That's all this stuff is trying to do. No matter how simple it sounds, that's the end goal of what's trying to happen. They're trying to take our focus off of God and put our focus onto something else other than God, whether it be a supernatural power, a person, a place, or a thing. They're trying to take our focus away from God and put it onto those. Spiritism is mediums and communicating with spirits of another world, like Ouija boards. That's what the whole purpose of those are, to be able to go talk to dead spirits. One of the greatest things to be able to combat that with is that we can look at, in relation to contacting the dead, the human dead are not contacted at all. Okay? They're not. Not at all. And we know this. This is Scripture. This isn't my opinion. This is Scripture. Luke 16:24, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man begged to go back to earth to tell his family that he was wrong. Begged. The guy said, no, you can't. Couldn't reach him. Psalm 88:10 and Hebrews 9:27 also say it. Whatever communication occurs, guess what? It occurs with demons. That's who's speaking. That's who's revealing. Demons have lived since the beginning. We just learned that, right? What are the demons? They're fallen angels. When were they created? Clear back in the beginning. What have they seen? Everything since the beginning. So they knew your grandpa. They knew your grandma. They knew your relatives. They knew your grandma baked an awesome cherry pie. So when you're sitting there and all of a sudden all this information comes out, oh, your grandma this, and your grandma, oh, she just loves to bake pies. You're like, oh yeah, she does. She did. I heard that. She did. This communication is not from your grandma. It's from the demonic spiritual forces. Human beings that are dead have no place. Another one that we were given an example one time, Hallie and I, that somebody was in heaven and they were sad. Hallie was on top of things enough to notice, hey, guess what? There ain't no sadness in heaven. Because why would that person have been sad if they're in heaven? They wouldn't have been. So all of this stuff is trying to reach out to give us comfort, give our feelings some sort, our emotions some side of calmness to be able to say, okay, that's enough. When where should our calmness and our comfort and our encouragement be coming from? It should be coming from God. But yet we think God's not enough. So therefore, I have to go out and I have to really reach out, because God, you can't comfort me enough. I don't believe in you enough that you can't comfort me enough that therefore I have to go out and try to reach the dead. Or I have to try to go out and be comforted and encouraged by someone else other than you, because you're not enough, God. That's what all this stuff does, which Satan says, perfect, gotcha, because I just took your reliance on God, your dependence on God, and I focused it on something of man. And that's what he's doing. Witchcraft, sorcery, drugs, voodoo, spells, enchanters, magic arts. So many tribal people have witch doctors and medicine men. And you can hear, you talk to Gene, to Fassel, some of those guys that have been over in the mission field areas. The Aborigines people of Australia are some scary. This stuff is so real. There was, Gene told a story, he was getting on an airplane in Australia to fly across the country. And this little girl was sitting next to him across the aisle with this complete look of fear and terror in her face. So Gene talks to her, tries to comfort her, and says, what's going on? And she goes, you see that man out the window? He is following me. I can't get away from him. And Gene goes, well, you're in a good place then. We're going to fly halfway across the country. And she goes, no, he'll be there. The plane landed. That man was standing outside waiting for that girl to get out of the airport. Okay, the stuff is real. The demonic world is real. You and I don't want to think that because we say that's not possible with our human bodies. Because it's not. But the demonic forces, the spiritual world, is real. Things like that happen. The United States of America, we don't have to see so many things. Here, I said I wasn't going to say my opinions, but my opinion is we don't have to because we're too arrogant and we're too blind to notice those things. And we will use drug issues, mental issues, and we mask those demonic type things with drug abuse and mental issues. We'll just write it up as that. Medicate and isolate, one of my favorite terms. What does the United States do to people? Medicate them and isolate them. Keep them away. So we can hide so many of these things underneath it. You just look at the videos and the pictures of all these, of Oregon and Seattle, and all these different places that have these drug problems. And look at the pictures and you got people bent, walking half backwards. Things our bodies can't even do. What do you think that is? Through the drugs, it's this demon possession. Different things that happen, the spiritual world can be reached, the realm, that is what it's saying. God says, do not play in the spiritual realm because it is real. And all it's going to do is distract you, confuse you, give you a false sense of security from what the truth is. That's all of this stuff, all that it does. Why are we addicted to drugs? Why are we addicted to different things? Because we think that gives us a false sense of security, because I need that, I'm dependent on that. Instead of being dependent on God, I'm dependent on something else. All of this stuff can be used for the demonic presence and the demonic forces to go further within the means of what they're doing. Astrology and horoscopes. The position and movement of stars and planets either controls or has direct influence on the lives of people. Both the person's destiny and the events of their lives are predetermined by the sign under which they're born. By consulting a horoscope, one can learn of upcoming events and make changes accordingly. Why? Why do we want to look at those? Why do we want to seek that out? Because I believe that God is not in control. Otherwise, why am I looking at it? If I don't believe that God is in control of me and my life and the world around me, if I don't believe that God can handle my situations, my problems, my struggles, the valley that I'm in, I'm going to just reach out and see what the stars tell me. Because God's not big enough. I'm going to change my future because I don't trust what God has for me. It makes no sense. And then there's silly little things that we can look at the back of the newspaper and you can read and it's got all your horse. Look, it's just out there for everybody to see. But if we take those and we put stock in those and we say, I better not go do this today because this horoscope in the newspaper said the way that the stars are aligned, this will happen to me. We just put our faith in something other than God. We just put our faith in the creation, the things that He made. So therefore, when he says we should have no other God but him, what did we just do? We just made the creation, the stars, the universe of God. Because we trust them more than we trust him. That's his whole purpose of when he's talking with the Israelites walking through the desert, wandering for the 40 years in the desert, and he says, you should have no other God but me. And to go out and get rid of all these other gods is because of how easily they distract us. Yeah, but God, you're still bigger than all them, but I need this. That's like saying, we say it time and time again, God, you're not enough. Sorry, you're almost enough, but I need this little bit to be able to get me by. I don't trust you quite enough. You can't do everything like you say you can. I got to have some power involved in this, or I got to have some tangible thing, a person, a place, or a thing here on earth to be able to allow me to trust you fully. It doesn't work that way. God's all or nothing. Either you believe him or you don't. And that needs to be our mindset moving forward. God, I trust you. And if you don't, you don't. You're wrong. And that's hard. This world makes it too easy not to trust him. The United States of America makes it too easy not to trust him because we have everything that we need. We're sitting in comfort. Our environments are controlled. We have more food in the grocery stores than we know what to do with. We have more food in our homes than we know what to do with. We're not lacking anything. We may be burdened and we may feel some stressful times or some things, but in reality, there's nothing that we can't. We have everything we need to survive. So what that does is that builds a dependence on that stuff, those material items, those things, instead of trusting God. And that's all of this occult stuff. That's all it does, is it's building a dependence on a person or a thing in the place of God. The divinations, a practice of foretelling and predicting a person's future. Palm reading, crystal balls, mirrors, tarot cards, rock crystals, and numbers. There again, we're placing our trust, wanting to see our future, wanting to see what it holds, because we don't trust God, so we're going to go figure it out for someone else. Superstition, it's just having no basis in fact and play into the hands. Superstition has no basis in fact, and it plays right into the hand of Satan and the demonic powers because of fear or the unknown and trust into magic, bringing about the beliefs or to avoid evil and disaster. I'm not going to walk underneath that ladder because of what's going to happen. I'm not going to break that mirror because it's 7 years bad luck. I'm not going to walk under the street after that black cat because what it's going to bring upon me. Sounds like silly, superstitious things. The rabbit foot. Little thing, I got my lucky quarter in my pocket. All of that stuff. We believe that there's power in that rather than power in God. God, if I walk under that ladder, you're not going to protect me. My life is junk. I got 7 years of bad luck if I break a mirror. I mean, it's silly, but there's things that are, people base a lot of things on their life, which is no fact in any of that stuff. The ghost, believing invisible appearance of the disembodied soul or spirit of a dead person, which has returned to haunt, seek revenge, or communicate with the living. And there's people that speak to them, see them, talk to them, deal with them, things like that. Obviously, we know it's not true. There's, to be absent from the body is to be what? Face to face with the Lord. That's what happens when we die. We don't come back as ghosts. We don't come back as angels. We don't come back as somebody floating around doing whatever. To be absent from the body is to be face to face with the Lord. That answers all the things of our questions of what happens. So why are we bringing this up with the study of fallen angels? Why are we talking about all this stuff within there? Because there are only two possible sources of supernatural power in the world. That's something we have to be aware of. There's only two things. And it's God or it's Satan. That's our choices. So we have all of this stuff that we just covered. All of these different occult practices that we covered. Who's in control of those supernatural powers? Because there's another one that says, well, bringing people back from the dead. What about Samuel? What about Moses and Elijah? What about those guys? Those were brought back to life. The apostles got to see Moses and Elijah. With Jesus, they got to see it. Well, that was brought back. One key difference in all of those scenarios. God produced that. God brought them back. Not some spiritual person. Not some medium. Not some Ouija board. Not some tarot cards. God brought those people back by His design. None of these other stuff, you can say that. God's not involved in any of that stuff. So although Satan is limited by God, he's been given freedom to work his evil ways. Okay, so the issue of, I don't know what else to call it, in free searching, that man is doing is more active in the end times. We know that because of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. And it's a result of the weak and false teaching of the gospel and the omission of teaching the true principles of God, which are His values and standards. It's a result of the weak and false teaching of the gospel and the omission of the teaching, the true principles of God, standards and values, replaced by the fluffy self-help and reliance preaching. That's what it is. We're soft. We don't want to hear the truth. We don't like to be offended. We don't like to be stepped on. We don't like to be challenged. Because the world tells us that we deserve everything good. We deserve comfort. We deserve the best. We deserve so many things from the world's viewpoint. So therefore, when we go to church, a lot of these churches is that fluffy self-help. To all that it does is make us feel good about ourselves. The better, the more we feel good about ourselves, the more we can take that, and all of a sudden we replace God with ourselves. It's my goals. It's my accomplishments. It's my idols. It's my order of events. It's not God's. The church is teaching us to be self-reliant. That's why there's churches with thousands of people in them. Because they like to go get patted on the back and feel good about it. They want to take the good out of here without the truth. Whatever fits my life, God, I'm going to take out of here whatever fits my life and makes me comfortable. And we don't like to hear that. Because we're arrogant. We're prideful. We don't like to hear it. But it's the truth. So the more that this continues on in the United States of America, the more that these churches grow and these different things, like all of this stuff that's no big deal to everybody, grows, the harder it's going to be for you and I to participate in the world. That's the truth. Don't you think it's hard enough already? We can sit here and we take all this stuff in on Sundays and we're like, yeah, I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. And then we step out of here, we get to work, and we're like, smack. It just takes us and it smacks us right upside the face. But that's the enemy's goal, is to take us out. So we need to then know, when we get smacked in the face, how am I going to handle that situation? How am I going to turn to something of my own way out of this? Because usually I'm pretty good at figuring my ways out of situations. Am I going to go my way? Or am I going to go God's way? Am I going to seek Him first? Or am I going to seek after the things that I know first? Because Satan's intelligence, the demonic world's intelligence, will give us just enough to grab hold of that we're going to follow it. And that's what we have to be aware of. That's why we're trying to cover this stuff. Is we've got to be aware of the tactics. So, therefore, the deception allows people to be led away from the truth, seeking personal involvement in exciting, unusual things, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the mind. So occult practices fuel people's natural curiosity and the desire to know the future in order to alter circumstances, avoid calamity, or take advantage of opportunities. The practice always denies God and His sovereignty by looking to someone or something else for guidance, wisdom, or advice. The main key is that all occult beliefs and practices leave out the God of the Bible. So when we're introduced or we're around these things, what are we to do? We need to ask ourselves questions. Is this prohibited? Is this prohibited in the Bible? What does God say about this? Does this glorify God? Does it rely on the wisdom and skill of a person or power other than God? What is its intended purpose? And is it inconsistent with who I am in Jesus Christ? Those are the questions we have to ask ourselves. When we have that draw, because we're going to have that draw to know more, because sometimes we're afraid. We don't know what the future holds. So are we going to rely on the things of this world to tell us, or are we going to rely on the truth of God? And are we going to be able to rest in the truth, knowing that He is in control? That's what faith rest is. That's a term that's used. Faith rest is knowing that God is in control and being okay with it. But guess what that does? Is that makes us be vulnerable. Nobody likes to be vulnerable. Nobody likes to be exposed. But if you expect to grow in your relationship with Jesus, if you expect to have a closer relationship with God, you have to be vulnerable to the world. You have to expose yourself. We don't have a choice. That is what you will do to be able to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what you will be able to do to have a relationship with God where you fully have trust in it is in what it is that He is doing, no matter what the situation looks like. So being honest with this question is the key and typically will produce the right answer. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15 says the deception and delusion can be strong. We know that. The power behind the occult is Satan purposely discrediting God and destroying His people. Therefore, we must know who God is. If we don't know who He is, we're not going to remember that He is the one who masquerades Himself as the angel of light. If we don't know who God is, we will be fooled. Okay, we'll pick up next week. Father, we just thank You for the opportunity to get together this morning. We just... It's just a different subject to cover. It's just a different thing kind of to talk about, but it's so important to know who our enemy is, to be able to see all the differences and the tactics and the things that are real in our life, the pressures that we get. These pressures are real. These demonic forces are real. The spiritual realm is, if we could only have eyes to see what it is that is really happening around us, we would be far amazed. So I just thank You for giving us Your answer, giving us Your truth. I just pray that as we go forth this week that we truly look to You for our direction, our guidance, that we leave the things of this world, that we leave the things of our wants and needs aside, and that we seek after You. We know that You are the Creator of all things. You're a Creator of the universe. You created the things in the universe, which is all of the evil oppression that we are against. So why would we not turn to You? So I just ask that You just give us a heart of submission, that we just set ourselves aside and we submit ourselves to You. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.